want us to deal with a very sensitive topic today. We're short on time, but we'll do the best we can. We learned in last week's parsha that Rivka and Yitzchak were both praying, and Rivka's prayers were answered. Yitzchak's prayers were answered, and Rivka's, they didn't make it. They moved whatever they could in heaven, but they didn't make it. And our sages tell us that Rivka had a certain element of deceit that was in her blood from her family, and that came out later on in her life when she pushed Yaakov to steal the blessing. And even though on the one hand God sent angels to help her out, on the other hand, the fact that she wasn't 100% straight was a flaw, whatever that means in Rivka. And that flaw caused her that when she prayed, her prayers didn't shoot straight up. And so the topic I want to discuss with the short amount of time we have left is honesty and dishonesty. Honesty and dishonesty. On the one hand, we know the importance of honesty. Every person has to be honest. On the other hand, we know how easy it is to fall into the trap of dishonesty. You walk in late. You promised your wife you'd be there on time, and you walk in late. It's very easy to say, the bus got stuck, there was a chafetz chashud, we got stuck on the way. Does she know the difference? No. Did you really get stuck, or did you forget you promised her you'd be home on time? What's the truth? So people will tell you that the Gemara says, and it's really halacha, mishanim mitnei shalom. Sometimes we are permitted to change the truth for the sake of peace. Your wife told you, don't tell anyone I'm pregnant. And then you went and you told your partner, and then you realize, oh, I promised I'm not going to tell anyone. So you tell your partner, look, I promised my wife I'm not going to tell anyone. Do me a favor, don't tell anyone, because I promised I'm not going to tell anyone. And then you come home, and she asks you, you remember you promised me you wouldn't tell anyone? Did you tell anyone? So now you're stuck with a dilemma. Technically, halachically, if you want to lie, so the halacha says, for the sake of the peace of the house, you could lie. But people overuse this permission, and we have to think about it. Part of growing in a marriage is talking to one another, being honest with one another, sharing with one another who we are. And us men have this thing called an ego. You guys familiar with that? Yeah? We have this thing called pride. And part of our pride is, don't you tell me I'm wrong. So what if I'm wrong? But don't tell me I'm wrong, right? Like many husbands have said, I know I'm wrong. I don't need you to tell me. Now, the Gemara tells us a story that one of the rabbi's sons was ill. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And it didn't budge. And then, I don't have the Gemara in front of me now, but I don't remember the name. I think it was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa who came in, and they asked him, you pray. And he prayed, and son got cured. So what do you think the next line in the Gemara is? So the rabbi's wife asked him, is he greater than you? Now, if you think about it, that you ask yourself, we all saw the same scenario. He also saw that his prayers weren't answered, and when his friend came in, his prayers were. So what do you have to ask the question for? I'm not saying that it's right for a wife to pour salt on her husband's ego. I'm not saying that's right. But we have to recognize, at least, us men, where is all of this coming from? It is coming from our ego. Meaning when we say, well, what do you have to say it for? What are we saying? We're saying, you're hurting my ego. Now, a smart wife won't do that. But a normal wife will. I think the average wife will. Let's say there's, maybe there exists, the average wife will. You see, I mean, it takes exceptional wisdom. It takes exceptional self-control to not to do it. And you see in the times of the Gemara, the wives did. You see throughout that wives did. So, when we think about ourselves, there's always this duality in marriage. What do I expect from her, and what do I expect from me? when we think of ourselves, we have to know that part of the growth that can come from marriage stems from honesty. And very often men have a serious issue with this, because men like to maintain their space, and women want to be a part of everything, as we discussed in previous classes. I want to be a part of what you do. So the guy is about to go outside, and she says, "What are you going to do?" And he says, "I'll be back in a minute." And she says, "Yeah, but what are you going to do out there?" So he says, "What difference is it? I'm going for a minute. The time we're discussing it, I'll be back." She says, "Yeah, but what are you doing?" What does she want? She wants to be part of his life. What does he want? "Give me my privacy. Give me my space." He calls. Who are you calling? In a second, right? She wants to be part of his life. He doesn't want her that much a part of his life. He'd rather have his space. Now, the most natural thing for a man to do when he feels his space is being crowded is to lie. He wants to go visit his friend tonight. If he tells his wife, "I'm going to visit my friend," she's going to say, "Hey, you didn't help me with the kids, you didn't help me with supper, come, let's spend time together." So what does he do? He says, "You know, we're going to have a lot of work in the office tonight. I'm not going to make it back so early." That's the easiest thing. It's the most natural thing for a man to do. Because what is he gaining? I can do what I want. She's not going to tell me I should or shouldn't. She's not going to tell me what her opinion on it is, even if in the end I'll get to do what I want. So the most natural thing for us men to do is to lie. And we have to realize that when we're lying, what we're doing is we're trying to regain our bachelorhood. Because bottom line, we are married. And we always have to ask ourselves, what would be if the situation was reversed? If she told me, "I have a lot of work in the office tonight, I'm going to be very late," and then I find out that she went to visit her friends and she just didn't want to tell me that, so I'm stuck babysitting the kids, and she sold me a story, could you imagine your blood curdling? One second, wait a second, what is this? Where's the honesty, right? But where were we a second ago? A guy runs out without his license. His wife tells him, "Honey, do you don't have your wallet, you need your license." He says, "Don't worry, I'm only going for a minute." He drives, police pulls him over. "Where's your license?" "Doesn't have a license." Gets a ticket. Comes back home. What's he going to say? The last thing he wants to say is, "You were so right, I should have taken that license with him." Doesn't want to do that. Why? Why? Come on, we all know why. So what's he going to say? So he's going to slip the ticket in his back pocket and he's not going to tell her about it, right? You guys see the scenarios? They can play out a million times. The easiest thing is to lie. And the thing that will build our marriage is when we're truthful. It's not easy. But when we're truthful, what we're doing is we're sharing our lives with someone else. And we're building with someone else. Now, we also can share with the other side that it's very difficult to hear, "Well, didn't I tell you you should have taken your license? Didn't I ask you not to go out without your wallet? You know, that ticket is the same price as the dress I wanted to buy last week, and you told me we couldn't afford it. I had your ticket, we could afford, right?" No one wants to hear it, but at the end of the day, maybe it's true, maybe it's right. The opposite side of the coin. Guy comes home, and his wife doesn't know him yet. She comes home, and he asks her, "Where you been?" She says, "Things got really hectic at work." Her friend calls on the phone, and she says, "By the way, it was great spending the afternoon with your wife at the shop. She's such a good friend. She took the time out and sat with me in the coffee shop. And I'm having such trouble. Your wife is mamish a tzedekes. Your wife is amazing." "Really? Okay." Hangs up the phone. "Honey, how was work this afternoon?" "What do you mean?" To be continued. We're out of time. This is where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem next week. What about the reverse? And this is where we started, really, with Rivka Imenu, that plays a trick on Yitzchak, and Yitzchak finds out about the trick, and we don't find Yitzchak ever confronting Rivka about the trick. So I'm going to leave you with food for thought. What do you think happened after Yitzchak realized that Rivka tricked him? And tricked him not on a minor thing, but on a major thing. And let's put ourselves in Yitzchak's shoes. So on the one hand, he says, "Gam baruch hu, yeah, yes, he deserves the blessing. He doesn't hate his son Yaakov. He blesses Yaakov." But now he thinks, "Wait a second, but Rivka, you didn't talk to me. Rivka, wait a second, what are we, husband and wife?" So let's put ourselves in Yitzchak's shoes and think for a second, what would we say? And what did Yitzchak say? What does the Torah tell us? What happened here? And that, Be'ezrat Hashem, is where we will pick up next week.